Welcome to Talk Cosmos, the show where Sue Rose Minahan and her panel of guests bring you leading-edge astrology conversations through a journey of soul growth patterns connecting astrology's energetic cycles. Get ready to understand your path in the cosmic roots of the stars.
Hello, I'm Sue Rose Minahan, host of Talk Cosmos, and today is September 26, 2021. It happens to be when Mercury decided to turn its retrograde apparent motion in the sky. So we're reviewing things, and that's really the crux of a major focus that has been on the minds of astrologers and really of historians and people interested in our history and constitution. And without even knowing it, the very fabric and matrix of our consciousness here in this country of the United States. We might say, of course, elsewhere, as we're increasingly interconnected. I am showcasing today a wonderful astrologer, intuitive author, teacher, and consultant, Daniel Feverson from Santa Fe. In his book, America at the Crossroads, it illustrates an earlier date, July 6, 1775, as the true Revolutionary War chart for our independence. It happened to be, as well, Daniel explained the history involved with this, but it's the only chart that happens to have a historical reference, because astrologers have been always fraught with the question, is it the Sibley chart on the 4th of July the following year? And because at 5:10, but it's been rectified. So there's major questions, and he'll focus on these issues also. It's a, and along with other reasons. Let me tell you a bit about Daniel Feverson, an astrological intuitive author, teacher, a student of astrology, I Ching, Tarot, and Kabbalah since the 60s, when Uranus and Pluto made their infamous conjunction in Virgo, which of course is resonating with its 50-year back in square during 2012 to 15, and is still making mainstream changes in our thinking. He says that mythology and astronomy inform his work. His core astrological training is through Jeffrey Wolf Green, but he sees astrology not as a cookbook science, but the actual context of life experience. It's absolutely what I believe, and I'm so glad to be associated in this interview with him. And it correlates to the birth chart. As a compulsor Sysup, he interacted with a diversity of metaphysical practitioners, participated in study groups, reading the Seth material, and studied George Gurdjieff's work. Again, a very fundamentally philosophical work that is deep potentiality in our consciousness today. Daniel's an initiate of Sarat Shabad Yoga. And forgive me if I'm not saying that quite correctly. He is a publisher of several books. He's published articles in the Journal of Evolutionary Astrology, ESAR newsletter, NCGR newsletter, Santa Fe, New Mexico. And Daniel is from are living in Santa Fe, New Mexico. He publishes regularly on YouTube, which happens to be the EA Zoom channel, and the Astrological Weather Reports, as they're called. And he enjoys organic gardening, herbalism, rock hounding, and exploring the four corners, which I think he may have come from recently, and photography. And you can find his website for, that's a number, for evolutionary astrology on, well, Google it or go to Talk Cosmos. And thank you for subscribing to Talk Cosmos. Thank you for coming to this channel, YouTube and podcast. And so I welcome you, Daniel.
Thank you, Sue. It's a great pleasure to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, it's really equally to have discovered your really wonderful work that you present on the EA channel, and just all of your, I have your book, The Crossroads of America, which is very fascinating with its charts. And I think you're going to edit it and do a new edition of it. I know I just got it on Amazon. But tell me, how did you come to the Revolutionary War chart?
Yep, thank you. It's a good place to start. Life is all about coincidence, but I don't believe in coincidence. I believe it's just some synchronicity that we haven't yet figured out. And my friend Ariel Gutman, who wrote the Venus Star book, was living here for a number of years. And when she moved, you see behind me, most of these books that you see are many of them I've acquired, by buying old people's libraries and used books. And she said she had some books to sell, and I went over there and I picked one up. It was it was published by an English woman named Helen Boyd, and it was called The True Chart of the United States. I picked it up. I said, Ariel, tell me about this. And she said, well, I collaborated with Jim Lewis, who realized astrocartography. Jim believed that this was the true chart. That was all I had to hear. The book, Helen worked with sidereal astrology, so I had to go back and kind of, fiddle with it a little bit, to come up with the same ascendant that she did. But it's, the chart is quite remarkable. I want to say up front that, astrology works, so all astrology works. I am not diminishing the importance of any of the July 4th, 1776 charts. There are three of them. There's the Sibley, which you mentioned. There's a Gemini rising. There's a Virgo rising. There's a Scorpio rising. Actually, there are four. This chart happens to be the only one that has any real historical corroboration, any references, because it is entered in the journals of the Continental Congress on July 5th, 1775, that the Continental Congress passed an act to bear arms against Great Britain. Yes, there was Lexington and Concord, which preceded this act, but those were defensive actions. Those were a response to the incursions by the Redcoats in the mm-hmm. colonies. On this date, on July 6th, 1775, the Congress actually declared war and hired, it was the day before, they hired George Washington as the commander in chief and raised a standing army. So it is the beginning of the American Revolution. And as I said, when we were kind of chatting earlier, when a colony declares war on its mother country, it ends all economic and political ties. On that date, the 13 American colonies became an independent sovereign state.
That is exceptional. And of course, Jim Lewis is really a has credentials, you might say, as in all of astrology with his and Ariel Gutman and yourself. So this, and I agree on this, that would eliminate any sense of friendship. I think all of us are listening aptly. And I'm wondering then why you hold it to be true, a true chart for the United States.
Well, because of the reasons I've just stated, because of the historical corroboration, but I've been working with this chart for over 2 years now, and I've run many historical events against it. And most recently, I've been, charting all of the current events in our country. The book that you mentioned, America at the Crossroads, is an examination of the 2020 presidential election. And it's just remarkable what has come out of it. And you'll see today, as we go through it, I'm going to, show you some of the current transits to this chart, and you'll see that it's remarkable, and I'm also going to walk through some of the high points of the chart itself.
Okay, well then I am ready, because I would love to hear what significant facets of that chart that really speaks to you and therefore to us. Thank you so much, Daniel.
Well, let me share the screen. Just get the right thing up here.
And we are aware, just while Daniel's doing this, that some of you are on podcast. And of course, Daniel is very focused and able to explain, but you can always check them out too when you get to some software. But our YouTube people will have that advantage to really note the chart while he's...
Okay, so this is the chart. And You know, I guess I'm going to start right with the Libra rising. 0 degrees of Libra rising is an ascendant. You know, the ascendant is how we meet the world. And we are this, our country is all about equality. We have to remember that when the United States started in the 1700s, this was a social experiment. We were the first country that took on the notion of government by, you know, governance by the governed. There was no king. There was no royalty. There were people who were elected, by the electorate, and it was a total social experiment. We're still in that social experiment 250 years later. We're still working with it. And we have learned, you know, where that experiment has failed and where that experiment has succeeded. And that's part of what we're struggling with now is seeing, you know, the places where the work really still needs to be done to achieve this experiment, because we're dealing with human nature. And human nature is the broadest spectrum of expression on the planet. So, it's been quite a journey for all of us. But this is really what it's about. The things that really jump out to me, I'll stay with the ascendant here for a moment. In evolutionary astrology, we start with Pluto. I'll come to Pluto. But with, you know, Mars conjunct Neptune and Saturn, this wide stellium, Neptune is out of orb with Saturn, but they are all chained together right on the ascendant is remarkable. Mars and Saturn is, you know, it's how we meet the world. As I said, we see the world as we are the world's police force. We have come out there and we have tried to structure and project our own philosophy and our own laws and our own way of living onto the world around us. And it's echoed in this Aries seventh house, you know, that we literally project this Martian, you know, we send our troops all over the world. We always have. It's part of who we are. But the Mars Neptune, I think, also speaks to some of the problems that we have had with our governance, because the 12th house is hidden enemies, it's secret enemies, it's things that happen behind the curtain that we don't know about, and, you know, clandestine activities, you know, and we know, again, that our history, especially our most recent history in the 20th century, is filled with this. But we can go back and study history, we can find that politics and the way things are handled have always been kind of a backroom event, not necessarily, up front. And we're still struggling with one man, one vote as well. I think this is all reflected here. Jupiter and Uranus up here in the ninth house, you know, the ninth house is our national philosophy. It's the religion. It's the way that we the cosmology, if you would, that is behind what we believe. And the word that I first put on here is manifest destiny. It's this sense that, you know, this belief, you know, back in the early 19th century, that everything from Maine to California should belong to the United States. If we look at Pluto in the fourth house, we can see that the past that we came, we lost our homeland. The founding fathers, the Puritans, the Pilgrims, they came here seeking a new life, seeking a new homeland. They were unable to successfully express their political or religious views where they were, and they came here to do that, but they brought that same trauma with them, and which is clearly reflected by Pluto retrograde in Capricorn in the fourth house and Eris there as well. And unfortunately, you know, our history has been, you know, well, you know, I lost my homeland, so I can take yours. This is exactly how manifest destiny unfolded. I just published an homage to the Navajos, the Diné, the people, the Navajo people of Arizona, who were totally displaced. The army came in and burned their fields, burned their orchards, marched them 400 miles away where they had no water for to grow their crops, no food for their livestock. This is our history, and it's been repeated over and over and over again. History, unfortunately, is always rewritten by the victor. And so much of American history, as we recognize, and I use the word American very carefully, because America really describes everything mm-hmm. from Tierra del Fuego up to the Arctic Circle. But most of United States history has been rewritten. It's really not, you know, it's not necessarily the way that it happened. I like to refer people to Ken Burns' The West, if you have PBS, mm-hmm. to watch it. It's the best history book I know of at the moment in terms of what's really happened and led up to a lot of the issues that we're dealing with today, including the revisiting the American Civil War. Venus is conjunct the North Node in Leo. The nodes in Leo and Aquarius, I think, are quite significant. It, you know, we meet the world as our self-anointed reconciler and adjudicator. Mm-hmm. And the periodic struggles about self-worth and individuality within the community. And the North Node is a probable future evolutionary paths that include communities built upon principles of equality and humanitarianism. It's not all bad. We have the right idea. We have the right ideals, but we've struggled to actually manifest them. We've manifested the economy. We've manifested the prosperity in most cases for some of us, not all of us, clearly. But we have not manifested the idealism that the founding fathers actually brought with them. It's taken all these years, and we're still not there. There's still conflicting tensions between the individual consensus and the current Uranus Saturn square right now. It clearly speaks to that. So looking through my notes, you know, with the sun in Cancer in the 10th house, you know, we think we're the world leader. And it's about family values and security. And security has been a big word, you know, ever since 9/11. It's the, you know, the homeland security. Totally. But it's interesting because though this chart doesn't show it, I just have just these some of the basic aspects here, but there are very few aspects to the U.S. Sun, which in astrology is that it's described as being orphaned, and this speaks to the isolationism that we have also suffered. You know, we didn't want to get into World War II. It said that Roosevelt actually, you know, sent all the World War I, you know, warships out into the middle of the Pacific so the Japanese could get to them, you know, easily. All these things, you know, come into play, that there's been a resistance at the back end to actually manifest or achieve the idealism that our country was founded on. And crises from the inability to achieve universal racial equality. Racism didn't begin with the Civil War. It came over on the Mayflower, and the Civil War was the first eruption of it, and we're still experiencing it. Segregation, slavery just became segregation. It really hasn't changed. It's still a form of slavery.
You know, Daniel, I'm just thinking a couple of comments that please. Actually are supported. Yeah, and pardon me, but I am thinking about the fact of, in the fourth house. Oh, and I want to mention to people, this is July 6th, 1775 at 11:03 a.m. in Philadelphia for a chart. And it has a 0 degrees ascendant, and I wanted to add, well, I was going to mention about the fourth chart, but is that 0 degrees actually for the whole chart? That is the chart, 0 degrees.
Yes,
amazing, because that's so cardinal, and it's also the vernal equinox.
Well, think about it. All of these angles are cardinal. All of our identities, all of the U.S. identities in the world, are very initiatory, very enterprising. That's who we are as an American.
It's very true. And I'm realizing too, also with the planets in the angular houses, you know, 1, 4, and 10 here, but back to the fourth, because I'm realizing when I totally agree with this, the fact that you're bringing up about displacing. It's like, okay, I can't have my land, I'll take your land. And it is with this idea of the difference in values that land and water can be given, that it isn't just universal. You know, the native people, we call native, but the original, the people living on the areas on the Americas didn't consider this resources, the natural resources, to be purchased or bought, you know, that it was, you used it, but you were always thankful. It's such a difference. What I'm getting at is that Venus, that real truth of value. And really, it's a matter of practice and theory. So I am so glad to have you bring forth continuing. Did you want to talk more about that chart?
I just want to add, you know, that it's Uranus. Uranus has the sense of superiority. Uranus can get very, you know, vertical with others, and it's conjunct Jupiter in Gemini. Okay, in the rational mind, in this sense of they came from Europe, which had, you know, thousands of years of history. It happens that the history here goes back even farther. They trace their, you know, back to the Romans perhaps, but American history perhaps, or U.S. history, goes back, you know, even farther than that. But the point being,
10,000 years perhaps.
They saw the indigenous people as inferior, so they had no compulsion, whatever the word is, to just take what they had. Because they felt that they were a superior race.
Elitism.
Yeah, elitism, right, exactly. So you know, this is really what has gone on. The Leo Aquarius lunar axis, I think, also is very important, because the Aquarius south node, you know, again, is a sense of exile. They were cast out of where they were, and it's interesting that the nodes are also stationed. The nodes, you know, station once a month. And it's a drilling down. It's kind of like holding a magnifying glass up to the sun and focusing the light on a single point, and it just bursts into flame. That's the kind of burning in effect that these nodes are having over the years. And the North Node in Leo is about self-actualizing. What we are going through now with COVID and with all the political polarity, and we'll get to the polarity because we're going to talk about the Neptune opposition, but it's we are all being forced to self-actualize, even if we hadn't thought about the fact that people who have gave no thought to personal growth are growing, whether they want to or not, and those of us who have been, you know, consciously engaged with it, are have this additional impetus, this additional ability to really focus on what's essential in terms of our own growth and individually and collectively. So it's all working out the way it's supposed to. But you know, nobody promised us a rose garden. Is this the best that I can say? We grow through crisis. That's how we learn. You know, somebody can smoke for 20 years, and you know, everybody in their family and their friends said you got to stop smoking. But when they wake up in the middle of the winter and they can't breathe, or they end up with pneumonia in the hospital, they stop. So it's unfortunately the human nature that we don't want to change. We don't change until we have to, because this is the cancer sun. We hold on to what's familiar. We hold on to what we know, because even though we know there's a pain there, it's a known pain. What's out there that's different is unknown, and it's scary. So we kind of stay in place as long as we possibly can. And it's human nature. It's just human nature. I don't think that's just true of our country, but it's especially true in some cases.
Well, it is. And right now is really an evaluation, as you said, through this experiment that, you know, growing up here, of course, we don't consider it such an experiment. But the fact is, it is, when you really get associated with the rest of the world, with their sovereignties of kingship and all of that.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I have other questions I'd love to ask. I'm And I think maybe we'll have to, well, we could begin. We have a couple of minutes. Because a lot of this research and interrogation of that chart to get support from it is by you observing what activated in the chart. So is there something that you might begin to comment on that what you currently observe in this chart? And then we'll, of course, sure. pick it up after this little break in a moment or two. Oh, good.
Sure. Sure. This is actually the transits for today, and I'm going to kind of run through this. You know that I have been writing about Eris since 2015, and we can see if I can even animate this and show you.
Well, we can do that after the break too, because okay. we have, I think, just a moment or two. But for people's, we're still on the July 5th or 6th, 1776. Five chart at 11:03 for those that can't see it. And it is for today with this wonderful retrograde that we're beginning to review things, September 6th and or 26th. Very good. Go ahead. It was
okay. Well, this square from transiting Pluto to transiting Eris has been the underpinning of everything that's been happening to us for the past, well, I'd say since 2015. It really came into orb around 2016. Donald Trump was nominated as a candidate for the GOP in 2020. He was elected in 2020. COVID broke out, 2019, COVID broke out. Eris is the goddess of chaos and discord. She's highly understood. Okay. She's basically castigated and made culpable for the Trojan War. And she was, she did start the Trojan War. But what most people don't realize or know is that at the end of the Trojan War, first of all it was the end of the Greek civilization, and that's Greek classical age. And I think that's an important point. She brings about the end of something which needed to end, but just couldn't get there. But at the end of the Trojan War, a member of the Trojan royal family named Aeneas, and anybody who studies mythology has heard that name, sailed to Italy. He founded the city of Rome, which lasted for 1,000 years. So Eris, from my perspective, Eris was responsible for the foundation of the Roman Empire, which came as a result of the end of the Trojan War. So she brings about great events through cataclysm. The other thing that I just want to throw in here, this square from Pluto, this last quarter square from Pluto to Eris has not occurred in Capricorn and Aries for 2,700 years. The last time this same aspect occurred was the Axial Age, when Homer and Hesiod, yes, and Confucius and Pythagoras, the great thought streams of Western civilization, yes, came onto the planet at that time. This is the impact, the import of the time that we are passing through.
It is pivotal. Absolutely. And I am so glad to have you, because we have been talking a little bit about this in different sequential prior Cosmos programs just lately. The fact that our whole consciousness has to get rerouted, we could say. And it is because Eris, S-E-R-I-S, for those people that may not, because it gets close with Aries, which is A, you know, but Eris, she asks these questions that are by themselves get to the core of a need, which we are doing too, really, with this whole thought to get from practice to theory of the idealism that can really be useful practice for this nation that we're living in.
Yeah, she unravels what's totally knotted up.
Yes, that's it. We will be returning in a moment. I'm with Daniel Feverson of Santa Fe, evolutionary astrologer, and we're talking about the true revolutionary chart. We'll be right back on Top Cosmos. Thank you.
we take a break from this week's edition of Talk Cosmos, let's take a look at this cycle's archetype. We are currently in the Yang period of Libra, ruled dually by Venus. By leaving the lower hemisphere of the self, the energy of Libra enters the arena where the completed self meets the other than self to form a relationship based on partnership. As a cardinal air sign on the descendant angle, represented by the equinox of equal light, Libra's energy learns through comparison and relationships, with the intention to integrate duality and polarities.
Old world travelers never began a journey without a compass. And today, smart travelers won't leave home without a map or GPS to navigate the journey ahead. But when it comes to your journey through life, how do you get your guidance? By aligning numerology and astrology's wisdom. Combining numerology with astrology offers a great spectrum of insightful meaning for your personal yearly, monthly, and daily numbers. And to help you navigate these numbers to discover your best daily route, numerologist Liz Mouchette, along with Gloria Riley, an Egyptian numerologist, and intuitive consultant Jenny L. Sinclair, have co-authored the book Gateways to Change 2018 and Beyond, Keys to Navigating the Seas of Life Using Numerology and Astrology. In addition to the book, Liz is also hosting a Gateways to Change workshop this fall, which complements the book to guide you to your life's journey and explore how to use the resources offered in the book. Copies of the Gateways to Change are included in the registration fee. The Gateways to Change book is now available to order on Amazon, and to register for the workshop, you can contact Liz at her website, alightpath.com, or send her an email at Liz, L-I-Z, Mouchette, M-U-S-C-H-E-T-T, at gmail.com. Let Liz be your compass as you continue your journey here on Earth.
Talk Cosmos brings you leading-edge astrological conversations with hour-long programs each week on KKNW. The show goes live every Sunday from 1 to 2 p.m. Pacific. Talk Cosmos weekly programs are also available to watch live on Facebook and YouTube, along with daily chats throughout the week on the Talk Cosmos YouTube channel. While you're there, make sure you click like and subscribe buttons so you can get the full Talk Cosmos experience. Or, if you'd rather listen to the show archives with audio only, the entire podcast collection since 2018 is available on most podcast carriers. So, grab your coffee, tea, or kombucha and enjoy the show.
This is Dawn Glinsky from 6 O'Clock Astrology, and you're listening to Talk Cosmos on Alternative Talk 1150 AM, where we discuss the meaningfulness of our roots in the stars.
Find out the latest about your favorite shows on Alternative Talk 1150. Check out 1150kknw.com.
Hi again, Sue Rose Minahan, September 26, 2021, and I'm with Daniel Feverson of Santa Fe. And we're continuing in a really embedded, full, informative information about this rich, the time that the United States of America declared war by bearing arms, the enactment to bear arms against England, which severed ties, as Daniel has stated, and Jim Lewis helped to recognize this is the one corroborative chart also for the United States. And we're talking, if you've just tuned in, about the aspects. Daniel's giving a great those, I want to add a combination so that you can go from here towards the last part of our show. And that is that you're, what you're observing that's activated in this July 5th, 1776, or 75, the numbers mixed up. And also where that might be leading us. You know, if you can tie that in together. So you were talking about Pluto and Eris in this square that we've been experiencing that is relating to all of us. It's occurred five times. The fifth will be on October 9th. The last one was August 27th. And as you wonderfully brought up, well, importantly brought up, that it's been 2,700 years since we've had this energy recalibrating, you might say, our entire consciousness of moralities and thoughts and awareness, everything from Confucius and Plato, you know, those are speak of their own. So with that said, it's all yours, Daniel.
Okay, thank you, Sue. I just want to add one thing, because I don't want to make any enemies here today. You know, I started to say astrology works because, you know, all astrology works. The way that I see the July 1776 charts is that was our country's first birthday. We had survived a year of warfare with the most powerful military force on the planet. In 1775, they didn't have the cojones to stand up and say, we are independent. It took a year of warfare for them to survive to be able to say that. Okay, so that's how I see those charts. Those charts work. They're all valid. All of those dates are valid. We could take the ratification of the Constitution. There's a number of dates that we could work with, and they all reveal important information about our country.
I'm glad you brought that up, because actually in business and in governments, there are a multitude. It's not like a natal chart when you were born. And even then we have other ways of looking at things with prenatal this and that. So thank you. That's right. Yes. Right.
All right. So what's going on now? You know, the United States is moving through a moment that rivals the epic periods in history. The closest correlation to what we are collectively and individually experiencing are the early years when the 13 colonies took up arms against Great Britain, but also during the Civil War, when U.S. Citizens, when brothers against brothers took up arms against each other. And this is the nature of the time we're passing through. It's totally epic. Let me bring up the chart again. So there are a number of important things that are occurring right now, and I'll run through them, then I'm going to come back and talk about them. We have the U.S. Pluto return. Now, we also have to understand that because this and, say, the Sibley chart are only a year apart, the outer planets are within a couple of degrees of each other. And when you take in the orbs, these are all outer planets with very slow moving transits. The orbs overlap for 9 years, okay? It's just that this chart begins a year earlier in orb and ceases a year earlier, you know, out of orb. But the span of the effect of these outer planets is the same. It's just the timing, the exact timing of the perfections that's different, okay? I look around at the world today and, you know, talk about Pluto return. People say, well, no, it hasn't happened yet. It's going to happen next year. I said, well, if this isn't it, what is it? What are you expecting it to look like? You know, I mean, I can't imagine, you know, January 6th with all these people storming the Capitol steps. What else could it be? You know, my astrology, as you said, is observation and correlation. It's not cookbook. I don't go by, you know, okay, this is what it must be because somebody said so. You have to observe what's going on and then correlate it to the chart and say, wow, these events are catastrophic, are cataclysmic. You know, again, you know, yeah. What else, you know, what can you expect that's going to happen next year that's going to somehow eclipse what's happening right now?
Yeah, and it is vibrational. Just the fact you're saying an orb for people, there is that influence, you know, it's like a storm coming, the clouds get darker and darker or whatever, and then the rain comes because, you know, it's the same idea. Yeah, it's
right. So the Pluto return has actually been in orb since 2018, and it's going to remain in orb until 2024. And there were three perfections. We've already had two of them. One was on February 18th, only 1 month after January 6th. The second one was just last month on July 9th. And the last one is going to be on Christmas Day of this year. Those are the three Pluto returns according to this chart. But again, it will be an orb for another 3 years till we come through it. Most critical thing is this Neptune opposition. This has not occurred since the Civil War. It's only occurred once in our history. The Pluto return has obviously never occurred. So it's kind of why we're in a fog with it, because we don't know what it looks like because nobody's on the planet who was here the last time it happened. But the Neptune opposition, we have a lot of historical evidence. We know exactly what happened. It was this huge polarity division of beliefs, and it divided the country. And it's exactly what we're going through now. The country is split down the middle, and you know all those people, except maybe the 600 who were arrested, who were on the Capitol steps, are still out there. They have not relinquished anything that they believe. They still believe that the election was stolen. They still believe perhaps in Pizzagate. You know, it's hard for some of us to get into their heads because some of it's a little ludicrous, but they believe it. Okay. I understand their anger, Sue. I don't agree with their tactics, and I don't agree with a lot of the things they're angry about, but I understand why they're angry, because of the total economic imbalance of the disparities of what's available, from person to person and household to household in our country. We do not have equality. This is Libra, 0 degrees of Libra. On this ascendant, conjunct Neptune, conjunct Mars, conjunct Saturn. We want structured equality. We want our choices to be equal. We want our beliefs to be valued equally.
And yeah, opportunity. That's so true. Yes.
Right. And they're not. So again, this Neptune opposition has been an orb also since 2018, and also will be an orb till 2020. The two of these, the Neptune opposition and the Pluto return, are parallel. They're paired. They're going to unfold in tandem as a paired event.
Neptune is great at dissolving. So in one way, it's a wait and see. Yes,
right. But it is our beliefs. We are what we believe, and we act on what we believe. That's Mars Neptune. Yes. Mars is our choices, and Neptune is what we believe. We choose according to what those beliefs are. It becomes our priorities, becomes our values. The other thing that's happening that I alluded to is the fact that Eris is also squaring U.S. Pluto. Okay. Now, it's a little bit different than the transit, because the transit's going to move away, but this doesn't. It's a natal placement. This square is going to be in effect until 2052, for another 30 years. Okay. Wow. And it will finally fade away. But what it's doing is it's totally changing the nature, the structure, Capricorn, Aries, it's our choices, it's our instincts, it's the way we behave, it's how we're actualizing. All of these things are being churned, are being rebuilt, if you would. Pluto rebuilds, and Eris mixes it up, and Pluto rebuilds it. So this is what we're going through. Our country, our nation, the government, everything, our economy, it's all going through change and cataclysmic change.
Yes. A view of Eris also, I might add, is of the truth teller. So in other words, this question that she posed and the ensuing war that changed everything, but as a truth teller. So really it supports that idea that we're looking as a nation through this purging and with transforming of what is not giving us power and will give people true power. What is true power?
I love that. That's also reflected in the transiting lunar nodes in Gemini and Sagittarius, the search for truth. Yeah, but that's, I love that. I hadn't seen that aspect. Thank you for that. I think that's very insightful. Thank you. So we're going through this Uranus-Pluto square on two levels. Okay, so you wonder why things are in such tumult. We're getting it from two different directions. We're getting it through our U.S. chart, and we're getting it through our own charts and current transits. The other thing that's happening is that Eris is also trining the North Node. It's sextiling the South Node, but it's this trine to the North Node, and the North Node itself is under a lot of evolutionary pressure right now. Eris is pressuring and creating a dissonance in terms of how we're going forward. The North Node is a probable future. The future is not set in stone. The future is determined by the choices we make in the present. For the most part, the way that nodes work, you know, all too often, is that the past becomes the present, and then the present becomes the future again. Well, Eris is coming in and shaking up that forward movement. We can't bring the past into the present. The present is never going to be the past again. We have to create a new future. It's a choiceless awareness. It's almost like a choke chain mentality where we must go forward in a different direction. And that's why these January 6th people are also so fired up, because they also are feeling the same pressure for change, the same pressure. But, you know, Uranus is a very interesting, the North Node is the ruler of the South Node. Uranus is a very interesting dynamic. Uranus wants things to change. One third of the people want things to change by going forward. Mm-hmm. One third of the people want things to change by going back to the way it used to be. And one third are in the middle. Okay. So this is what we're dealing with. This is what we're looking at. To further complicate matters, from beginning in 2025, maybe I'm getting ahead of the story, Uranus, I don't want to get to that yet. I'm sorry. Okay. In 2023, in 2 years from that, Uranus is going to square the lunar nodes of the U.S. chart. Mm. In evolutionary astrology, a planet squaring the lunar nodes is called a skipped step. It implies that something from the past is applying great pressure, must be resolved at this time. It's something that's been skipped over, whether it was denied to us, whether somebody else denied it, whether circumstances denied it, whether it was too challenging. It doesn't matter. There's no judgment with a skip step. It's just something that is a requirement at this point in time that has to be fixed, that has to be resolved.
It's, if I might say, because I also follow evolutionary astrology, that it's like I see it as a toggle. Like we're toggling back from the past, what we came into this world with, as far as that chart, and where we're hopefully integrating towards the next going forward. But it's not just a smooth deal. We're
bouncing back and forth between past and future. It's a bouncing back and forth, and the resolution point is always if you stand in between the two nodes, okay. The resolution point is always the one on your right.
Yes, okay. That's right. Okay.
So if you have a skip step in your chart, you can look at it and know which way you're supposed to be going.
And that's standing facing the center, because people facing, will wonder.
Center of the chart.
Yeah. So here it is towards the North Node. We need to go on the collective. People, each person really supports the idea of the equality of all, the dignity of the individual, that through the dignity of each individual really being able to have access to these dreams and ideals of equality, of just opportunity, then we can, they can manifest their actuality and become that, those communities and groups that can support and elevate,
Okay. All right, let's move along because I see we only have a couple minutes.
Oh, sorry.
I love what you're saying. The other thing that we're moving into is that the United States is going to have its Uranus return in 2025. And there is an inconvenient truth about Uranus and Gemini. You may know this, you may not know this, but every time Uranus has been in Gemini, the United States has gone to war. Uranus has an 84-year cycle, was the American Revolution, the Civil War, and World War II. And we're coming up to another one again. I'm going to stay away from predictions. I often say that astrology is not best served as a predictive science because we're human beings who make choices. And I've kind of got a little bit of egg on my face right now. I'm going to have a confession here because I really expected, you know, given the current transits and the forecast that I did for this month, that this September 18th event at the Capitol, I did not think it was going to end up being a non-event. I really was quite concerned that the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers were coming back to finish what they started. I'm not entirely sure that they won't in the future, but they didn't. And I kind of made that prediction. And then I said, oh my God, it didn't happen. So I'm a little reluctant to make predictions, but these are the energies that are building up, and it's building up momentum moving forward. Where is this leading us is the next question that we have here. And I'll just kind of run through this. In 2025, Uranus will enter Gemini, and I just referenced that. Actually, the Civil War began when Uranus was still in Taurus, where it is now. In 2025, Neptune will enter Aries, and the shift from Pisces to Aries is going to be huge. Neptune, in its own sign, is, you know, kind of warm and fuzzy. Neptune in Aries is not going to be as warm and fuzzy as it is in Neptune. And then we have Pluto in Aquarius. We're looking at some really dramatic changes as these outer planets shift again. The good news or the bad news is that there are no major transits in the next 5 years like we've had in the last 2 years. We're not going to have another Jupiter-Saturn. We're not going to have another Saturn-Pluto, Jupiter-Pluto. But those cycles, which began in 2019, are now going to play out over the next 5 years. That's the cycle that we're in. So what we're seeing is, to a great degree, is what we can expect. This is the nature of things. We're going to see tumult. We're going to see disruption. We're going to see chaos. We're going to see, you know, where hard work, where effort needs to be applied, and changes need to be made, and different choices need to be made, and different priorities need to be adopted. The issues that we're dealing with that emerged on January 6th of this year did not begin this year. It was the end of the Civil War. When the South lost the war and Lincoln passed the Emancipation Proclamation, it drove a stake into their hearts, and they have carried that ever since. The South has not changed. Slavery only became segregation. And there was an incident right here in Santa Fe with a Native American woman who went in a bar and couldn't get served. And when she said to the waiter, why haven't you served me? She was told that she was being disruptive, and she got thrown out. Okay, you know, it's still going on. There is this sense of patriarchal superiority that has not changed.
It is absolutely important because it is crisis, and it is really a matter of each and every person really looking at what value they realize. It isn't just for themselves without pointing fingers. It's not the projection. You know, if we have that Libra ascendant, the worst of it is by not taking one's own authority, of accountability, and pointing a finger, you know, is the square to Capricorn, for the other to point it. So there's great opportunity if we do, each of us, because as you had said, we're people are, without even wanting, growing through crisis. We have to. We've been isolated. We have to get to know ourselves somehow a little better, whether we like it or not. And you can't lead everybody, but it's everything isn't done with everybody anyway. There's that consensus of enlightenment, you might say, like the vibrational. So I think it's a great tribute. I thank you, Daniel Feverson. And I'm just trying to say, because we have about a minute here, that for people to listen to your, to go to For Astrology, Evolutionary Astrology, and find you. And we'll return with some more, hopefully in December, we'll have you back and
I'd love to come back. Just send me an invite and I will be here.
Oh, goody. Okay. Well, again, I hope people, I guess we must go. I can see the time. Thank you.
Namaste.
Yes.
Thank you for joining us on Talk Cosmos, the show where Sue Rose Minahan and her panel of guests connect soul growth patterns with the energetic cycles of astrology. Be sure to tune in next Sunday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time to continue your journey through the roots of the cosmic pathway.